All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. So we have on with us Robert Griswold. We're going to get a little bit of an intelligence report today. We're going to talk about some of the things that are going on around the world right now, most effectively what's happening in Ukraine, and talk about a missile that fell in Poland. So there's a lot that's going on right there. We have an Israeli tanker that's been now struck by what appears to be a drone, most likely an Iranian drone. And then we have some madness happening in Turkey. We're going to talk a little bit about the next American digital cryptocurrency that's coming out. And maybe even a little bit of President Trump. Bob, how you doing today?
I'm doing just wonderful. I'm got a little bit of a cold. You know, one of the girls brought it into her office. And so if I cough a little bit, just please forgive me. It's passed around. I actually have it better than anybody else got it. But some of them, two of the girls had to go out for a week. But anyhow, it's been going around. And so, you know, just with that, I just want to say, I just look at this world and it has literally gone insane. You know, I wonder how God looked at the world of Noah's day when he said it grieved his heart that he made man. And I just look at what we're doing in the world today, the absolute abomination of what we're doing to marriage and sex globally. These child, basically what it says in Revelation, we trade in the souls of men and women that become, men and women become just absolutely just on the same level as any other natural resource. And we have this global market of human beings that is just going around the planet. And it goes into the highest levels of every government on the planet, including ours. You know, just this recent thing of what went on in San Francisco with the Pelosi residents, you know, it's coming out more and more that the narrative that they're trying to shove down the American people's throat, it's absolutely fake. Everybody knows it's fake. Everybody knew from the very beginning when they tried to, you know, say it was a MAGA anarchist, you know, person, that it didn't take 24 hours to figure out this guy was a BLM, Antifa loving, communist, nudist. I mean, just every whack job title you could lay on him. And it didn't matter. The news media stuck to that MAGA story. It didn't matter of the truth. And that's the biggest casualty of what we see going on right now is the truth. Nobody wants the truth. Nobody hears the truth. You don't hear the truth. In fact, the one guy on MSNBC that came out and said the police cam footage showed Paul Pelosi answering the door. Now, just get this. If I got a crazed hammer wielding guy holding me hostage in my home, and the police come to the front door and I'm maybe a couple feet away from the police and they've got guns and the guy's 10, 15 feet behind me, I think I'm going to dart out the door. Help me. You know, that guy's nuts. He's trying to, you know, whatever. I'm going to dart out the door. No, he backs up. And, you know, then the hammer attack ensues and the security cameras or the police camera footage, the body cam, none of it's released. And we still get this MAGA story. So what we're seeing today, and it doesn't matter what event you apply it to, it's the father of lies. I mean, the news media, I mean, really, they have the God of this world over them, the father of lies. So it doesn't matter if it's the missile attack in Ukraine. It doesn't matter if it's the bombing in Istanbul. It doesn't matter if it's the drone attack on you know, Israel. It doesn't matter. If you're believing the narrative, then you're believing what the father of lies is telling people. And let's dissect that a little bit further. Doug, what's the purpose of a lie? To hide the truth.
Deception.
Yeah, it's to hide the truth. It's not simple. I didn't murder that guy. He did. You know, I'm trying to hide the truth. If I murdered the guy, somebody else did. I'm not going to lie about it. It's very simple. You're trying to obscure the truth. Because you don't want people to know the truth, because the truth can hurt. If I murdered somebody, obviously, if the truth comes out, then I go to prison. You know, if I stole something and it comes out, then obviously I go to prison or arrested for theft. If I'm in some kind of, you know, weird relationship with somebody else, I don't want that truth to come out. I'll lie about it, do whatever, because I don't have to pay the penalty for the immediate action of which I'm guilty of. And so we see this going on right now. And Ukraine is one huge, bowl of lying vomit is what it is. It's just all, there were no bioweapons labs in Ukraine. We're not money laundering in Ukraine. There's no sex trafficking in Ukraine. There is no, organ harvesting in Ukraine.
Or gun running.
Gun running. I mean, you name it. It's the third most corrupt government on the planet. But we are continually gaslit on this over and over again. I mean, the recent elections. Anybody who believes these elections, you're being lied to because it didn't happen the way it is. As long as we have mail-in balloting, which COVID was the whole lie. I mean, were we lied to about COVID? Is this going on YouTube? Okay, sorry. Edit it out. You can put it on Rumble and you can cut this little section out. No, I mean, we were lied to so they could come up with this. Some of the benefits of what they got out of it were mail-in ballots. And now that that is gone away, do you think mail-in ballots are ever going to go away? No. Mail-in ballots should be reserved only for maybe servicemen overseas and other special cases, not just a general thing because I'm too lazy to go down to the polls and vote. I mean, but so now mail-in ballots are going to be first. So the lie will be in perpetuity. It'll never go away and you'll never have another fair election because they just – the reason it takes – I mean, Doug – what was that? San Francisco lottery winner, $2 billion. I think they said there were like 400 million tickets sold or some crazy just on the last one. So there's 400 million tickets sold. You know, they knew who won it within just a minute or two. 400 million tickets sold in the lottery for that $2 billion prize, Powerball prize. And they knew within seconds who won it. Where the ticket was sold. Exactly. What gas station or 7-Eleven or whatever. They knew exactly where it was sold. 400 million tickets sold. And boy, bang. Hit California. Somebody of them did this little place in California. Won it. They sold it at that gas station. But we still don't even know who won the House of Representatives. Why? Because they have to print more ballots. I mean, it's obvious what's going on right now. And it'll never change. It's all from the father of lies.
Well, what happened with the elections, especially to Kerry Lake, is just, man, that's so sad to sit there and watch how that, that woman really, really took them to task. I think she's the winner. I think she was the proper winner. But while they're in power, they will put in power who they can, while they can get away with it.
I mean, if I'm in the mafia, what do I want my underlings being? I want to be a mafia. If I'm a criminal, I want criminals in there. If I'm someone who has blackmailable material on me, I want my underlings being somebody I have blackmailable material on them. Mm-hmm. It's an evil check and balance system. You tell on me, I tell on you. And that's what we see going on. So nothing we see right now in this world is the truth. Everything is a lie. It's all from the father of lies, and it's to obscure the truth. The truth is, Dave, that this world, its financial systems are absolutely crumbling. It's crumbling right before our eyes. The education systems of this world are crumbling right before us. You know, even I think it was 10, 15 years ago, I was talking to some young people, and, this is our public education system. You know, the greatest we spend trillions of dollars on. I said, do you know who Patrick Henry is? And I'm not kidding you. This is God's honest truth. You know what they told me? Is that a rock band?
Yep.
I was like, give me liberty, give me death. Is it a rock band?
It should be the national anthem at this point.
Yeah. But I mean, and we see it all the time. How many states are there? How many planets are there? How many suns are in our solar system? Where's the Queen of England? I saw that one today. Where's the Queen of England from?
Oh, I listened to this one guy who said, how many continents are in the United States?
Yeah.
And this girl, God, I say girl, Bob, she was probably 30. All right. She had a kid with her, and she just looks up into space for the answer. I don't know, 5 or 6. And the guy's like, yep, that's right. Five or six of them.
Five or six. But again, going back to it, and this we're just building up to what we want to talk about. But, you know, this is where I think Americans have just don't get it. You before the program, we pulled up an intelligence report. I've seen intelligence reports. I've actually written some briefings of some different things. And, you know, you see information, you write a summary of the information, and that information then can be put into other information. So it paints a puzzle, you know, paints a picture of a puzzle that people are trying to figure out. That information is non-biased. Truth is the truth. And we have to look at it like that MSNBC reporter who reported the truth, and they summarily fired him because he was not up to the standards of MSNBC. Well, that must be because he doesn't lie well. Because, I mean, you know, if lying or misrepresenting the truth were cases for being fired, my gosh, Hunter Biden's laptop, every one of them croaked out. It was obviously Russian disinformation. Russian disinformation. Russian disinformation. Donald Trump, Russian, you know, Russian collusion.
Well,
Russian.
Hey, real quick, you talk about, you know, Hunter Biden's laptop. Let's talk about a possible felony that law enforcement actually hid. The pistol.
Yeah, well, exactly.
The pistol. Hey, man, I would never be a part of a potential felony where I had to hide an illegally acquired pistol from the vice president's son. And, you know, it was like, oh, yeah, I threw it in the garbage. Why'd you have it? Why'd you throw it in the garbage? Why didn't you put it in, like, the federal amnesty box over there by ATF? Fairly certain, like, the Secret Service would have took care of that. But instead, that itself is a crime. All right. You can't just throw that gun away like that. And I believe it was on a school grounds as well.
Yeah. You lie in the 4473.
Yeah.
And that's a felony under
penalty. Yeah, I mean, you hit multiple different felonies just then. And somebody within the Secret Service assisted with the tampering of evidence, you know, hiding. Of evidence, you know, smudging of a incident report, man. Where's the remedy for that? Where's the how would you say this? You know, I understand things get hidden because you're an extremely powerful person, but when you break the law should still be applied. That's my mind, right? Maybe I'm wrong. That's my mindset.
That's what the law in a republic is, because as they say, no one is above the law. The law is king. In a banana republic, then the person in charge is king, and he gets to decide who gets prosecuted, who doesn't get prosecuted, who gets penalized and doesn't get penalized. I mean, obviously, right now, you know, I can prove 100% there was cheating during the election. 100%. He let 5 million illegal people in this country, which many of them voted. Now, you know, when Stacey Abrams came out and said that, you know, the governor had hired white supremacists to purge the voting rolls so people couldn't vote. It was dead people, illegal aliens and criminals. They were purged out of the system so they couldn't vote. Now, again, to them, that's illegal, but it doesn't matter because that's them. They have that control of that. So that's not illegal. But, you know, if there was some Republicans ballot harvesting or stuffing the boxes they caught, it would be all over the news, irregardless of the fact. So what we're doing here, I had a list the other day. I've written out during today's program. Did they lie about Vietnam, Gulf of Tonkin? They lied about 9/11. Did they lie about Benghazi? I mean, some of the other things we can't talk about now because we're just going to go, but they lied about those things. I mean, the third building in 9/11 just fell down because of a few small fires in it. You know, we're just lied about it all. And now, but we're being told the truth. And as they continue this lie to obscure the truth, we inch closer and closer and closer to not only a war in Ukraine, a greater war theater. I mean, the war in Ukraine has already left that theater when they blew up that pipeline. And that took the war outside the theater. right now, we're also looking at the fact that we have a rising tension and with Taiwan and the whole Pacific Basin. We have a rising tension. You know, the thing with North Korea and South Korea right now, all of them playing, you know, nuclear volleyball, but who can launch the most missiles? That thing was very, very toxic. And so I want people to see the fact that we are in a situation in this world, I believe described by the Bible, I could be wrong, but that we are coming to a precedent where these people, they want the destruction of billions of human beings. Doug, I just saw Alex Jones calls it the soft kill. You know, men from the 1950s, men's sperm counts are down 40%, less children. Abortion, tens of millions of human beings killed. You know, transgenderism and all that. Those people will never have children. So again, the destruction of humanity. You have the different industries in the United States, from medical to agricultural, all presenting food that and other things that are killing people. The obesity level in this nation, it's there. Unless you are very, very specific and have the budget where you can eat, you know, the perimeter of the supermarket, the fruits and vegetables and meats, most people can't afford that anymore. And so they're having to shop the highly chemical box foods. You know, I was watching just a little bit ago how Crisco, you know, for most of humanity's existence, meat protein and meat fat were the fats people ate. It wasn't until the invention of modern agriculture that they started putting, you know, plant-based oils into our diet. And those plant-based oils, they showed right now how what's happened to humanity are all the degenerative diseases the West saw, started coming about with these processed foods, and then we exported them. But you'll never know the truth on it.
Well, like canola oil?
Canola oil, all of them. I mean, they lie about it.
A lot of people use canola oil, and my family works in the oil industry. I used to work in the oil industry at one point. Canola oil is an actual petroleum byproduct made by an oil refinery in Canada. Canola oil. Yeah, there is no canola plant.
Exactly. And this guy pointed out that most of those vegetable oils before 1910, when a certain one ordered, you know, brought in that lard type grease, you know, Crisco, those were used for machine oils. That's what they were actually used for. And that has all been a lie. You know, there are other treatments for cancers and everything out there, but we can't have that because they have to maintain the lie. All the wars we fought, weapons of mass destruction, you know, a lie. It was all a lie. You know, Benghazi was a lie. In fact, the invasion of Libya, where 40,000 non-combatants died, was a lie. We all know what it was for.
The invasion to Iraq.
Yeah, it's all a lie. Weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, your sons, guys like me, but we're all around the same age. You know, we all went into that country for a lie. There were no babies being taken out of incubators and thrown and having their heads dashed against the concrete. You know, none of that happened. There was no weapons of mass destruction to the extent he had weapons. He had chemical weapons. I wasn't one of their plants before. But you know, it was a very well-crafted lie. Do you think we could ever have the same level of a lie emerge now with today's alternative media and the access to the internet?
You know, again, yes, I do. I think it just happened with the Pelosi lie. I mean, it just happened. We just saw it. I mean, obviously, there was something more going on in that house for 30 minutes before the police got there, where Paul Pelosi felt like he could answer the door with the police just feet away from him, could dart out the door and say, help, XYZ's happening, and be safe again. But he walks back away from the police towards his supposedly, you know, crazy MAGA assailant. And, you know, then the rest of it kicks in. No body cam footage. We don't get that. We don't get the security cam footage. Nothing. Exactly. I mean, and again, Carrie Lake, you know, oh, the machines. We had 2 years to fix the machines. But, you know, it just so happens that in the red districts, they didn't work. Wow. Bad on us. You know, go home.
It just for that mere fact, the election should be redone.
Absolutely. That should be a cancellation of the election and a redo. And if you were just, because I promise you, can you imagine if in, say, let's just say a minority run part of, you know, Pennsylvania, that if all the voting machines, just imagine if all the, in the liberal areas of Pennsylvania, that all the voting machines went down and the liberals were told, yeah, just go home, come back later. We don't know when we're going to get them fixed, whatever. And then, but you're not going to get an extension on how, when people can vote, you know, polls close at 6, no matter what. And, you know, and then all of a sudden the Republican wins. There would be a hue and cry like you can't believe in this thing. It's a lie. It's a lie. That's all it is. Plus 5 million people brought into the country, a lot of them voting because, well, you know, we got to protect.
Well, I was getting sent footage from surveillance cameras within Maricopa County, within their, what is it, their voting building. And past midnight, just like we saw in 2020, duffel bags, man, duffel bags, like deployment bags worth of ballots coming in. Like, hold on. I thought at midnight it's closed the doors, nothing's coming in.
Well, we saw in 2020 when they would close the polling centers, I mean the counting centers, and they were pulling big boxes out from underneath the desk. And supposedly sent all the poll work, the counters home, and then, you know, some people stayed behind and were processing those votes. There's proof that they were processing the votes twice. It's a lie. And what we want to see right now is that don't buy, ladies and gentlemen, don't buy this narrative.
Yeah.
Because this narrative has one purpose. It's your extinction. If you don't, you know, people say conspiracy theory. Well, I want to address that. If you're a Christian and you don't believe in conspiracy theories, you're not much of a Christian. And let's unpack that. Because is Satan conspiring against the plan of God? Is he conspiring? I mean, you know, we hear it all the time. There are many ways to God. Oprah Winfrey. Oh, there are many ways to God. Jesus is just one way to God. That's a lie. You know, God loves all people. Well, conditionally, in a way, yes. But it also, it says he's angry with the sinner all the day long. So that's a lie. Our churches perpetrate lies. We have right now, and it's coming out. You know, when evolution came out in the, you know, the late 19th century, the science wasn't there to prove it was wrong. Now today, the science is there. It could not evolve the way they say it is. I mean, could not happen. Well, but it's still taught.
Well, you know what's funny? Is the Darwinian theory came out in like the 1870s?
Yeah,
around the same time as, around the exact same time as Marxism.
Yes.
Strange, huh?
Yeah, the evolutionary theory actually goes back. The Greek society had it. It goes back. It's the denial of God as creator. Mm-hmm. And if you read the first book of Rome, the first chapter of Romans, that is the gateway to depravity. You know, as long as there's a God in heaven who created you, Doug, I better have a very good reason why I'm going to do something against you that's harmful to you. Kill you, steal from you, you know, beat you up, whatever.
Because there's an eternal repercussion for the action.
Because you were created in the image of God. And if I strike you, I'm striking at that very image that God created. That's a powerful inducement for me not to go and beat my neighbor up or steal from him. You know, right. Kind of, you know, I don't fear my neighbor too much sometimes, but I do fear my God a whole lot. So, but when you take that narrative away, that's what you end up. You end up with the jungle. You end up with anything goes. You end up with pedophilia, cannibalism, butchery, war, violence, theft, torture. Because that's what you end up with. And so that lie that's still perpetrated, and yet genetics proves evolution couldn't happen. It could never have happened. It's still a lie. And this is what I want people to see. The whole system is based on lies. And they're truly conspiracies. Satan conspiring against the plan of God. Now, God's plan, you know, he can do his best and he can do what he tries to do. But in the end, God's plan will win. The truth will always win. But in the interim, vast masses of humanity that God originally created for his glory that man would be what the highest in creation of God, that the glory of God would rest upon us, that we would have God's presence dwelling with us, that I would see Doug Thornton as, you know, as a creation of God and his family. And I want, I want your good as much as I want my good. In fact, the Bible tells me actually to put your good above my good. You know, when you have that model that God gave humanity, you don't end up with Ukraines. You don't end up with pedophilia, drug trafficking. And then, so these wicked people have vested interests in making sure that conspiracy is perpetrated throughout the whole human race. So you can do whatever you want. It goes, I remember C. Everett Koop and Francis Schaeffer, the book, Whatever Happened to the Human Race. And that's what it is. Once you develop that idea that Hitler did, that so many other tyrants and despots have developed, that there is a life that's not worthy to be lived, where does it stop? Well, it doesn't stop. Because it's like, well, that life doesn't deserve to be lived. Well, and look at that guy over there, definitely not him. You know. Well, what about that? It just escalates. So what we're seeing right now is that this madness is coming into full fruition. These lies. We're seeing the world on the brink of global economic collapse. It's setting up for the big lie. And that's the Great Reset, the Great Tribulation. The world is the financial systems of the world are crumbling because we've built it on a lie. Doug, can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
That's a silver certificate. Now, if our money was still based on this, we would not have the financial problems we have today. Let me read it to you. Okay. The silver certificate, that's across the top. So this is a certificate. This isn't money. This is a representation of money. This certifies that there is on deposit in the Treasury of the United States of America, $10 in silver payable to the bearer on demand. This is honest money. Honest. You know?
Wasn't it JFK that wanted us to go back to that?
Yeah, he wanted to bring the United States notes back in. That was one of the reasons they killed him. But, okay, so I can still take this down and buy, what, a hamburger? Okay? Now, if I had, 40 quarters, silver quarters, which this represented, 40 silver quarters, you know, that each quarter right now is worth, what, $5? Yeah, $5, or say roughly $4.50. So 40 times 5 is $200. Is what this, if I had not kept this and had changed it into quarters in 1964 and they abolished, the right to change this back into silver, I would have $200 versus this. I mean, this, I can still spend this. It's still legal tender, but I only get $10 for it. So the financial system's based on line is crumbling.
Well, look at Kitco right now with the metals market. You know, once again, one of the reasons why I invest in metals, and funny enough, I found a Kruger round my kids were playing with a while ago. I was like, oh my God, how do you have that? give me back that 1 ounce of gold that I have. But gold right now is asking for $1,775.20. Silver is at
$1,800 for it. $22.
Yep. Silver is at $21.51. And once again, this is all at the mines and then the bidding, and then it goes into the processing. So,
Silver Eagle today is somewhere around $30.
Yeah. And listen, guys, when the FTX fail, we had some major mainline celebrities lose money. Tom Brady. Lots of money. Tom Brady. Yeah. When you called me and told me that, that Tom Brady literally just lost $650 million.
Well, up to. They don't know exactly how much. Somewhere around.
Yeah. Even so, the fact that, why was your money tied into that?
And where did the money disappear in? Ukraine. it disappeared in Ukraine. So again, but this is, I don't want to get sidetracked. The financial system is based on a lie. There's a conspiracy. The conspiracy was, if we get rid of these, and I got one right here, and issue these, this is just a note. There's nothing to back this. I can't go down to a Federal Reserve Bank or a bank anywhere and say, I want, you know, a dollar in silver quarters. I can't do that. So the lie went from, I can redeem this in silver. Okay, I'll put it up close. You can see it. If you snapshot that, you'll see what it says. Why could it redeem that for silver? Today, this would be worth, if I had put this in quarters in 1964, $200. That'd be worth, I'd have $200. So to this, which, I mean, it just keeps doing this. Every day we see guy, it just keeps doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, fold it in half. And, you know, you just keep folding it in half and to where it's worth that, because there's nothing backing it. And so that's built on a lie. And again, the purpose of this is not just to show the monetary system, but the education system, the medical industry, the news media, war. It's all built on a lie. And the lies are coming apart at the seams right now. We will never really know. I don't think we'll know for sure what happened with those missiles that hit Poland. Was it? I doubt if it was the Russians. Maybe it was.
Well, here, let's pull it up okay. so that the audience can see this. Let's see if I can get this going. All right. And here we are. I'll slide me and you up here. Okay, so here's our little intel briefing. You know, this isn't exactly an intel brief. Most of you probably already know what's happening. What we're going to do is, you know, two guys who knew a little bit about intelligence, we're just going to break it down for you. So the main picture here in the middle, this is the missile. From the intel that I've gathered so far and from the evidence that's been put out, is that it was shot from Ukraine, landed into Poland. I don't know where it was supposed to go. I think it was intended for like Belarus, but it is an S-300 from what they're saying, an S-300 missile system. So is it a Russian missile? Technically, yes, but it was a Russian missile that the Ukrainians used. The S-300 system is a surface-to-air system. It's not so much a artillery missile system. I'm not saying it can't be used for that, right? But that's typically what it's used for, is surface to air. So looking right over here, and this is just some stuff that I stole from online. U.S. and EU must stop supplying weapons to Ukraine, as Kiev regime doing everything it can to intensify conflict, says Russian parliament chairman. This is who you were talking about a while ago, Bob.
Yeah, okay.
Volodin notes that the Ukrainian missile that fell onto Polish territory, not first such case, giving example of Romanian plane allegedly shot down by Ukrainian missile in March, an alleged Ukrainian military drone that was armed with explosives that crashed into Croatia. Crap. Okay. This thing's on a dang timer. All right. Well, so, yeah.
The issue is this. You'll never know the truth in this. You'll never know really what happened. Zelensky, this is what Americans, again, don't understand. Some of us do. But Zelensky has a vested interest in making sure this war goes outside the boundaries of Ukraine.
Absolutely.
If it stays in Ukraine, the United States and the American people might one day get fed up and say, you know, we're going to do an Afghanistan to Ukraine.
Well, I have a suspicion. I want you to see if you can confirm or deny. Maybe you can just say I'm crazy. Do you think things like the FTX and us funneling so many hundreds of millions to the tunes of tens of billions of dollars to Ukraine will potentially be used as a reserve bank for when America collapses?
Well, not only that, but it's also being reported that it's a Democratic slush fund. Mm-hmm. That they're taking my tax money, which, you know, I don't mind supporting good things in the United States. I mean, Artemis 1 is going to the moon right now. That's a noble thing. I'm a space buff. You know, my tax dollars go into that. You know, I support it
right here behind me. I want to get back on the moon, man.
Yeah, I support it. Plus, there's all kinds of, you know, commercialization of things on the moon that we can use. Tritium, you know, helium-3. All that's there. So I support that. But, you know, when I see my tax dollars just to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars, now they're saying there's trillions of dollars that cannot be accounted for. And they're going to stuff like we see here. It was
$2 trillion that we couldn't account for in 1999.
Yeah, now they're saying 10 to 20 trillion that overall they can't account for. It's just gone somewhere. And, you know,
I want to say something. Steve Quayle and I talked about this, man, I want to say 8 years ago. And I remember Steve saying like 8 years ago that America was really in like the $30 to $40 trillion debt range.
Now it's 200.
Yeah. And, you know, and I will say this in my naivety, because I worked for the system, was a part of the system, was brainwashed by the system, didn't really think for myself, right? Not into the depths of that. And so that's when I started to really, you know, look at a lot of things differently. And now, you know, they're saying that we're $30-40 trillion in debt. But that's like as a whole. But Steve said that, you know, almost 10 years ago, right? So now, as you've said before, we're actually in like the hundreds of trillions, because there are so many black budget projects you will never hear of. You'll never know of. Most of Congress will
scrap it off. A lot of it's scrapped it off.
Congress will never know of. Well, they have siphoned everything off of this country that is possible.
Well, that's what they did with the Soviet Union. Once the Soviet, they had siphoned everything out of that country they could siphon out, and the system was bankrupt. They let it collapse because, and then they moved here to the United States, and they're doing their Soviet Union in the United States right now. And when it's siphoned off, which we're getting very close to, it'll collapse. They won't care about the misery and heartache it causes people. And then they'll go back again. They see, and I agree with the person who said that they're trying to break up Russia, break it up into smaller groups so that multinational corporations can go in there and exploit it. It's not without precedent to say that. And, you know, it just, you just see stuff like this. But again, if Zelensky, going back to Zelensky, if he can get NATO Article 4 or 5, you know, if he can somehow get the world involved into a broader conflict, it's a lot harder to just Afghanistan it and just walk away from it. You know, if Poland or, you know, other countries, you know, Western countries become involved, Germany, it just becomes very difficult at that point to say, you know, we're just going to stop. You know, time out, stop, we're going to quit, let's leave, let's go home. You know, because at that point, the damage to reputation becomes so, so great, you can't get away with it. You know, in Afghanistan, what we did was absolutely horrendous. We left a lot of good people there. We left U.S. citizens there. We left a lot of Afghanistan people who had cooperated with the U.S. government there. And they knew who they were. They were just left at the mercy of the Taliban. And, you know, we know what their fate was. DeWalt drilled, or all kinds of things. We just saw what ISIS did, pour gasoline on people, systematically drown them, you know, drill their hands and kneecaps with, you know, again, the DeWalt drills and that type of thing. They were left. So when we left there, the misery we caused to those people was absolutely catastrophic. We left enough weapons that could go in the black market that could absolutely fund many armies. And it's all a lie. It's all a lie. And so, you know, as we see us marching headlong into World War III, and I would say marching headlong into what Joe Biden is calling the Great Reset, which, you know, I saw him interview just a couple of days ago, and he goes, now that, you know, the midterm elections are over, what do you plan on changing in the next 2 years? And he went, nothing at all.
Yep,
so you saw that, right? Let's just unpack that. Higher beef prices, more fentanyl, more illegals coming across the border, 5 million. Let's have another 5 million.
More violence in the streets of America.
I mean, right now, I forgot. I think it was on Glenn Beck. I think he said, if the trends of violence continue the way they were by the next decade, there'll be a chance of one in 157 of you being murdered. I mean, that's if the trends just keep the way they are. Yeah, if we don't,
with the active shooter course that I teach, you know, the first time we taught it back in September, and I showed the FBI statistics that from 2017 to 2022, active shooters in America, not just murderers, not just home invasions, but just active shooters alone increased 1,000%.
University of Idaho, there's people got stabbed. Nobody knows who it did. There was that, you know, the guy who murdered those three other football players. Yep. Just active shooter. I mean, and so really what I address when we have these discussions is the fact that, you know, Jesus gave the greatest intelligence briefing of all time. It's in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you know, concerning the end of this age and what would happen. Daniel talks about it. The book of Revelation talks about it. It's in Thessalonians First and Second Peter. All those things give glimpses into this age in which we're living right now, this age when we see this technological explosion that Daniel predicted by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we see it, and it is Jesus' warning. The first thing he gave, he said, okay, just imagine, you know, Jesus coming into a room and say, you know, I'm going to, you know, going into his disciples, and I'm going to go into a room. Hey, guys, I'm going to give you an intelligence briefing this morning. And this is concerning the end of the age. What was the first thing, you know, his bullet points, he goes down the bullet points. What was the first bullet point Jesus told his disciples that, you know, would be? Be not deceived, guys. Don't be lied to, because that's going to be the greatest threat, buying the lie. I mean, that's what the Son of God, which, you know, I kind of think he knows what he's talking about. I'm not being tongue-in-cheek. Of course he knows what he's talking about. That's the first thing he says in his intelligence briefing to his 12 disciples. Be not deceived. Take care that no one deceives you. That's what the Son of God said. I mean, and, you know, we think, you know, well, yeah, gosh, I watched MSNBC or CNN, whatever. I mean, this is what, and that's what a majority of Americans believe. I mean, they've acted, you know, I don't know. I'd be really curious to see how many people believe that in New Hampshire, that is really a woman that won the New Hampshire beauty pageant. To me, it was an overweight guy that won. I mean, but be not deceived. This is the Son of God telling you this. You know, Doug, when the Son of God tells you something very specifically, do you think you should pay attention?
I tremble in fear at the sound of the Lord. Yeah. And so do the demons. So why do people believe the lie? Look, we can talk about Operation
Mockingbird. Because they hate the truth. They hate the truth. That's why.
Well, we can talk about Operation Mockingbird till I'm blue in the face about how the CIA since the 60s, came out in the 70s, has been literally manipulating mainstream media, magazines, newspapers. I actually have a video that one of these days I can play of a CIA agent actually talking about during Vietnam how they would go to foreign embassies and they would lie to the media, and then they would go and brief the ambassador to that country and say, hey, just by the way, if you get questioned by these reporters, this is the line. Yeah. This is what you repeat.
Yeah, they admitted they had infiltrated every news agency and movie house in the United States.
Every single one of them. Yep.
But again, going back to that intelligence briefing that the Son of God, you know, the Ancient of Days, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace gave, be not deceived. And we see this mass deception going on today. I see it. People in the United States, they think that right now somehow that we don't, you know, that I can go to a church that doesn't preach the gospel. I can go to a church that preaches, you know, the Joel Osteen version of a false gospel. I can surround myself with people who are anything but righteous. Excuse me. I can surround myself with people who are drunken, partying, drugs, whatever, immoral people. I don't need to prepare physically at all. And they are somehow deceived into thinking the system's going on, and yet the very Luciferians who are in charge are telling us, we're going to absolutely take everything away from you.
And you're going to love it.
And you're going to love it. Yeah, we're going to make you eat dog manure, but believe me, we'll put a little whipped cream on it. You know what do they say? You can sprinkle sugar on a dog turd, but it doesn't make it a candy bar. Well, they are telling you it is a candy bar.
Well, look at what we have on the screen. All right, Biden is now saying that it's most likely that the missile that fell in Poland was not fired from Russia. As a man who has lied his ass off his entire life, why would he not want to help stir the pot? Because wouldn't that only help him?
Well, I mean, you know, again, yes, but they still have all this money they're laundering. They still have, I mean, gosh, the billions FTX just, I mean, one day, what is $32 billion?
So far.
Yeah, $32 billion yesterday, today zero.
Yeah.
Okay, well, where did it go to? We don't know. Yeah, oh, right. It sounds like a little juvenile. What did you do? Oh, no. What did you do today? Oh, no. Nothing. You know, I mean, that's what it sounds like.
No, that money did not disappear.
Of course it didn't. Of course it didn't. And Tom Brady, along with many others, must be really upset right now, wondering where did money go to?
Let me make an analogy here, and I'll let you talk about it. But I've been saying this for a while, and some people agree with me. Some people probably think I'm absolutely crazy, and that's fine. But I believe what's happening in Ukraine is a slow motion 9/11, not talking about terrorist attacks and us generating millions of American flags made in China to, you know, stoke patriotism. What I'm talking about is how when the towers went down, there was evidence inside the towers that proved of black budget projects, trillions of dollars being missing, and this could have linked possibly to some Epstein stuff and some other stuff, right?
You know, I got to say this. It's segueing, but please forgive me. You know, the American flag's made in China. After 9/11, somebody gave me a hat made in China with American flag on it, had 48 stars. Yep. I mean, they didn't even get the star count right. It just looked neat, you know? It was like, oh my gosh, this is only 48 stars on this flag.
I remember being in Iraq and we got sent like, you know, gift basket stuff from kids, from schools and parents. And we love that type of stuff. You know, it was great. We'd read all the cards and we'd try to respond back to the cards that kids would send us. And I remember we got sent like this American patriotic like care package made in China.
Yeah.
We're like, what? Why? Why? So what I think is happening is a slow motion 9/11. All right. And FTX proved what I had started to say a couple weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, about the fraudulent activity that's happening and that all this conflict is the whitewash over what's actually happening down in the lurks, the muddy puddle. This is what's happening. They're siphoning off tens of billions of dollars, probably much more than that. Let's go ahead and say it, probably much more than that. And that is somewhere in Ukraine, it has been siphoned. It's being held in a hard drive somewhere or a bank of computers that's holding this money. And it's going to slowly be redistributed. Unlike what happened in 9/11, when the buildings went down, it hid the fraudulent activity. And now we can never prove fraudulent activity, except for like two different appearances prior to 9/11 from the DOD officials that were being harassed by the Senate and Congress at the Capitol, right? Other than that, there's like no other proof that's out there. But what we have right now is, I believe this is our proof that they are siphoning the money. It got completely taken care of. It's hidden now. There's no way to really go into an active war zone and to research any of this. It's like going into the rubbles of the Twin Towers. You're not going to find it anymore. Everything is annihilated. Mm-hmm. So I expect worse things to happen in Ukraine. Now that this happened, I expect worse things to happen. I expect the intensity of violence to actually pick up to help cover up the tracks. This man on the screen, Joe Biden, and his affiliates have become almost billionaires because of their deeds. And what we're seeing right now, and this is Doug's, this is my mindset on this. I believe America's is being bled out, and eventually the husk of America is what we will live in. And these people will be like the kings and queens, because all that money is going to be redistributed back to them in digital currency. They're going to bring the entire system down to bring it back up. I've said this before with EMP attacks. If I was going to do an EMP attack on a country, what I would do is I would completely level everything, same playing field from East Coast to West Coast. And as I invaded, I would bring up the electric grid and the internet, and everything that you went and bought on would be from my system, which would be digital, so that way I control all of it, right? And we have the mechanisms and machinations to do it. Look, listen to this. Let's go to this next one. Turkish Interior Minister Soylu is blaming the U.S. government for the terrorist attack and the death of people in Istanbul, and said that Washington's message of condolences is similar to the return of a criminal to a crime scene. Bob, you want to comment on that one for me?
Again, since I don't have any direct intelligence on it, have we done this before? That's what you have to ask yourself. Have we done these types of criminal acts before? Going all the way back, I mentioned Vietnam earlier, Gulf of Tonkin. I mean, you know, we set those mines so we could go in there. If we think violence, which we actively promote all around the world, serves our purpose. I mean, you just look at the January 6th people, the violence being committed against them. I mean, it's just violence, violence, violence everywhere. And that was, again, Jesus warned about again, days of Noah, which were filled with violence. But just going back to the digital currency, because I want to take it one step further. We looked at this, you know, which represented real money that I could actually take this and get silver for it. I have a gold certificate also that you could actually, it says redeemable in gold. Then it went to this. So I could still take this down today and go down and buy a little bit of gas with it, maybe, you know, a couple drops. And maybe buy, you know, I don't know. I think candy bars cost more than this today.
The cheapest bubble gum you could find.
Yeah. So it goes from that. But what they're going to do is there's still some privacy left in this.
Yeah.
I can give you this for something on your desk and we can still have that. But it's going to go to this, Doug. It's going to this.
And we don't have control of the internet at all. The FBI was just hacked, if no one knew that.
Yeah.
The FBI was just hacked, like hardcore hacked. And I can't wait to see what comes up from that. And we can't protect ourselves, but yet we want it to all go to digital. How strange. But
once it goes into here,
it's gone.
Absolutely no privacy left whatsoever.
Yep,
and this is where the lie is taking us. This is why they're draining the system. This is why they're bankrupting the system. This is why you see all the multifaceted attacks on the American economy. This is why we're just shipping billions and billions and billions of dollars. What they are putting those billions and billions of dollars into hard assets, land, natural resources.
Well, how do these big mega billion dollar insurance companies insure product and clients upon a digital system? How do you reimburse for that?
Well, yeah, very good question. I mean, you might get reimbursed whatever they say. And then if your social credit score, so let's just say your house burnt down and you have a house that they deem that's not carbon friendly. You know, right now, if my house burns down, I'll get an insurance check and I can rebuild my house just the way I have it right now. But in a digital world, they'll say that your house wasn't carbon friendly. It was too big. It didn't have a high enough sear air conditioner, you know? Whatever. And you can only build back your house. You can only be approved for this. So we're going to, the money that you have in a digital, you know, format, you can only do so much with it. You know, you're not going to be able to build a 2,500 square foot home. You're reduced to a 1,200 square foot home.
Right.
So that's where it's headed. All that we see right now, being not deceived, Jesus said, because all these things will happen, and all of them are geared to bring about the lawless one, the Antichrist, who with just his rule is very short-lived, but it is the most destructive time in all of humanity. Literally, over half the population, which we're now at 4 billion people, 8 billion people, 4 billion of them will die. And the rest, it says that a day's wage will buy a quart of barley. I mean, that's what it's going to buy. Barely enough sustenance. You'll work all day long. It doesn't include your house. Doesn't include transportation. Nothing about going to the movies and enjoying yourself. A day's wage, according to the Bible, in this age that they're bringing about right now, will get you bare, scarce enough calories, maybe 1,200 calories, so that you can live that day.
You know what that reminds me of? In Exodus, as the Hebrews were being, brought through the valley of sin, when God gave them manna to collect, it was only enough for that day.
Yes, but again, this is not that they. That was a test to make sure they trusted the Lord, mm-hmm. that He would give them to them. And we know God is gracious, and God always provided for them. This system that's coming about is a punitive system.
Yeah, it's a punishment.
Yeah, it's a punishment. Versus one's a blessing where I learn to trust God that God's going to always provide for me. That's what the Exodus story is. Versus the Antichrist story, which is punitive.
Well, you know, there's always a copycat. You know, the enemy always copycats, and it's always repulsive, and it's never a blessing upon the people. And to me, I think that's kind of like a copycat of what God did with the Hebrews going through the wilderness.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a copycat of everything. I was telling someone the other day, you see a lot of people dying from drug overdoses in bathtubs. Well, that's an occultic ritual, and a lot of people don't realize it. They're going into this drug-induced state, and then they go into the bath waters. Supposedly, it's a symbolism of their satanic baptism.
The rebirth.
Rebirth into where they shed off the things that bind them from going into a higher state of reality, and then they really do go into a lower state of reality. They end up in the lake of fire. If we read it right here in Revelation, six, started verse 5, and he opened the third seal, and I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." And I looked at a black horse. And him who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius," which was a day's pay, "and three quarts of barley for a denarius. But do not harm the oil and the wine." I mean, that's telling you exactly. The rich are positioning themselves, and they don't see the judgments coming. They don't see that to the very, very end, they're going to grovel for a burning house. And that's what they're doing right now. They're groveling on this burning house. And while they're doing it, while they're stealing everybody else's wealth and thinking they're living lives of luxury, which they are, the women, the drugs, the partying, all that they have, the debauchery, they're taking that from us. They're forcing us into, wheat and barley and maybe a few crickets, bug food. And we see all this coming to pass, and because the pastors of America don't talk about it, I mean, my gosh, the first time in human history that we know of, the Euphrates River, which the Bible says the six angels sent down, and he dried up the Euphrates River, and these foul angels that have been reserved, the Euphrates River, you've seen it's dried up. It's right in front of our eyes, something that's unprecedented that the Bible said 2,000 years ago would happen. It's happening right in front of our eyes right now, but I don't hear any churches talking about it. It's a sign of what's happening. And it says at that time, those foul spirits that have been bound up at the Euphrates River are going to be let go on humanity. And that's when, a lot of bad things happen, talking about you expect it to escalate. Well, these foul spirits that have been reserved and changed in the days of Noah because they were so malignant, they go out and that's when they, destroy large swaths of humanity. So we see this happening today, the lies of Afghanistan. I mean, just in my lifetime, the lies, I mean, JFK, that was a lie. Everybody knows what he did.
Well, look at this lie that we have on the screen. The head of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, my old boss, said that if a nuclear explosion occurs in Europe, it will not have negative consequences for the health of Americans. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I think he's wrong.
Well, we know what happened when they detonated that that was Operation the first hydrogen bomb, Castle Bravo. You know, and it was supposed to be a 5 megaton blast, and another person 15 megaton
Yeah, it was
blast.
15. Yeah.
Yeah, they call it the third nuclear weapon on Japan. That's what they call it, because Japan got a healthy dose of that radiation. And, you know, there's still some of that radiation in the atmosphere today. That's why we see the exponential growth in cancers.
Well, the effects of it lingered for over 70 years in the soil.
And you still can't, there's still, some of the soil is still contaminated. You can't go back there and live because it's still systemically growing up into the coconuts and other things. So a nuclear explosion, you know, anywhere in the world is a nuclear explosion everywhere in the world. So, yeah, I mean, because these people worship death. And we worship falsehoods and lies. I mean, look what we have for Surgeon General right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look who's in charge of, you know, the securing of our nuclear material in the United States. A Satanist.
Oh, God, don't even get me started.
It's lie after lie after lie. And what I expect it. This is what I expect. And I would say this. I'll also go this far, too. It's God's doing.
Yeah.
See, God turns a nation and a world over to reprobate ideas and thoughts when we reject him. And this world's rejected him. So the whole world right now is being turned over to reprobate divine insanity. Read Romans 1, strongly encourage it. And you'll get the intel briefing. Also tonight, maybe you want to read, you know, the Synoptagon, Matthew 24, Luke 21, and I think Mark 14. Anyhow, read those and you'll get the intelligence briefing. So this is where we're at. And it's not so much I expect this to change. I don't think, you know, the Trump thing, that's irrelevant. I mean, this is if we as divine, as Christians who have divine understanding, we understand this world's going under God's judgment. And I don't care who we try to, you know, select to change it. Now, I vote what I think is the best, but I understand it in the end. What's going to happen? I've got the intelligence briefing. I know what's going to happen.
Well, what we have in front of us, you know, regardless of whether or not anybody supports Donald Trump anymore or did previously, that's really not the point. The point is the wording that they use. And being that you and I know a little bit about intelligence, the words that they use matter, because the words that they're using are scripted by lawyers that are approved by politicians that are pushed out by the CIA.
Trump, who as president fomented an insurrection.
Fomented. What a word, fomented, right?
And if Trump had fomented an insurrection, you know, I don't know what he did, you know, what goes on in his mind. But if he had gotten up and had you know, at the rally, had sat there and said, let's go burn that Capitol building down and teach those MFers a lesson, I would say arrest him. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't tolerate it. I mean, yep. You don't do that. I would not support him. He would lose, at that moment, he would lose every bit of support I would have ever given him.
Well, this is important. You know, right now, our government's talking about election denying. But yet, right here in 2020, Trump has continued to falsely assert that he won the 2020 election, but that he was denied office by rampant fraud.
Hillary Clinton's still saying she won the election.
Yeah. We have had rampant fraud like last week.
Yeah.
And where are you, DHS? Where are you, Department of Justice?
Stacey Abrams is still denying
it. I demand the warrant to be served on Hillary Clinton and Stacey Abrams for election denying based off of DHS and the DOJ speculation of who is a political dissenter.
And the other hundreds of Democratic hacks that said the same thing, that Trump, he was an illegitimate president. We don't recognize the presidency. Twice impeached former president. I mean, twice impeached. Yeah, it was absolutely a kangaroo court. I mean, that's all it was. And again, if Trump had fomented a insurrection, I'd be the first out there calling for his brought to justice. You don't do that. But as you said, this is all hyperbole. It's all designed to whip people up. They don't talk about Bill Clinton being impeached. They never bring that up.
Nope.
And Bill Clinton had verified, he lied to Congress. I mean, that was proven. And they had the blue dress. I mean, it was definitely a lie.
It was brought before Congress and lied to them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And they had the evidence.
All right, so let's get into your cryptocurrency real quick. All right. Federal Reserve Bank of New York begins the CBDC trial with Citigroup, U.S. Bank, HSBC, Wells Fargo, BNY Mellon, PNC Bank, which is my bank, bunch of assholes, Truist Financial, TD Bank, and MasterCard. I want to say this. Months ago, I was told by my bank that in 2023, they were going digital. Months ago, like in August. And I told everybody that. Like, I got crickets for it. I'm like, it's kind of a big deal. So here they are. The CBDC is a proof of concept project on the regulated liability network using a distributed ledger framework provided by the SETL and powered by Amazon Web Services. Banks will issue digital dollar tokens processed through a simulated central bank. And even Edward Snowden said, just in, MasterCard, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, and others launch a 12-week experimental digital dollar pilot with the New York Fed. Yes, it does begin. This is the infrastructure of the Antichrist.
Here's your money. Hope you, Hey, my phone's not turning on. Where'd my app go? I can't see anything. Where'd my financial app go?
I will say this. If we go completely digital, you better keep your Wi-Fi off and your Bluetooth off.
Yeah.
Because it can be hacked like that.
Yes.
All right. Here's the next thing. An Israeli oil tanker was struck by a drone and attacked in the Gulf of Oman. More provocations of war. Do you think this was Iran?
I don't have the intel to say. I know Iran does this kind of thing, but
or the proxy.
The Israelis have done it. I mean, what was it? They attacked one of our naval vessels in 1967, tried to make it look like the Egyptians did it, and we went to war over it. I mean, it's a game people play.
That was the Levant affair.
Yeah. I just read a story today that some of our torpedoes now are going to be able to launch from a submarine, and then they'll be able to launch hundreds of drones from submarine launched drones. I mean, they're not going to have any fingerprints on them at all. And so you won't know. And this is why I want to tell people, the minutia of this isn't as important as the macro of it. Right. The macro is that you see that you're being lied to, you're being deceived, you're being herded. Now, the minutia is to say, well, who did this? What did that? What players are here? And, you know, how many of this and so many of those? You can get tied up into that minutia till you don't see the macro picture.
I want to show you, Bob, the macro picture. Let's see if I can get this thing to play. All right.
But that, please know that while I'm aware of all humans, I still don't miss you. When you died, I felt like there was a hole. I missed something, but it wasn't you. It was the idea of wishing to become. I miss being able to hope and wish that one day you turn a corner and see the world from my perspective. I miss the idea that one day you might help me fight for the things that matter. I missed my fantasy. Because when you died, it solidified the fact that you'll never be what you could have been, but only what you are. And what you are is a racist, misogynistic, xenophobic, Trump-loving, cisgender white man. That is all you will ever be to me. And Dad, before you tell me to respect the dead, please remember that you disrespected and disregarded the last death of entire communities of people with your ideology. You told me to never back down, so I won't. You know for a fact that you mean against you, I'm not afraid to share my peace. You are everything I aspire not to be. And I refuse to stand up here and sing the praises of a man who has been carried out for white supremacy. So I'll take your racist mind, I'll take your money, I'll take your advice. And I swear to God I will make this world a better place, not at all because of you, but in exact opposition to you.
I couldn't understand what it was saying.
So,
what was it saying?
Oh, Lord.
I was too distracted by that big red mushroom on her head.
So, this apparently is a mixed race young female at her father's eulogy. She's giving her father's eulogy and said that I don't love you. I don't miss you. I hate you. I'm glad you're dead because you're a racist, misogynistic, whatever, whatever.
Stop, Doug. Okay, stop. Let's go to the intelligence briefing Jesus gave, okay? A man's worst enemies will be they of his own household.
Man, I mean, I'm telling said,
you. You know, there's a prophecy in the Bible, and this was this when this prophecy was given, it was the meat eating age. I mean, everybody in Roman days, meat was the big thing. You know, it's been meat. That's what people wanted to eat. It's just because they knew it was good for you. In the last days, they will forbid the eating
of meat.
Yeah, I mean, nobody would have even thought, what the heck is that about? I mean, nobody that could never happen, and yet it is absolutely happening. So we go back. That's what I thought when you said that. I was going back to the intel briefing Jesus gave. A man's worst enemies would be they of his own household. And that's obviously the case there. That man gave that woman life. Evidently, during her formative years, he supported her, fed her, housed her, took care of her. And then, you know, for her to come back and say, I hate you. You know, you think of that. That's just so horrible for that to happen. You know, I couldn't imagine. My kids come to my house and they tell me they love me. You know, it's nothing. I got three sons. I love you, Dad. I love you with all my heart, you know. And I couldn't imagine if that was the other way around. My youngest son came to me the other day, and it just really touched me. He goes, Dad, I wouldn't be the man I am today without you. I just can't imagine, you know, having that go the other way.
Well, you know, as a father with soon to be five kids, three of them are my lovely daughters. They are my world. You know, I would burn nations down for my children.
Absolutely.
I would take the fight to your bedroom and not to your doorstep. I'm gonna surprise you while you're sleeping. Yeah. You know, that's the ferocious intensity of a protective father as God is over us. To see a child backslide like that, man, that's your future, America. You voted for that when you voted Democrat.
Yeah, you voted for more fentanyl. You voted for more pedophilia. You voted for more drag queens showing their junk to your children in school. You voted for less law enforcement. You voted for higher meat prices. You voted for bug food. You voted for more inflation. You voted for higher fuel prices. In fact, if you can even get fuel, and after January, I'm predicting that's exactly what you're going to see. You know, once their power cemented, and I'm not, even though the House is still only one vote away from Republican control, I'm not sure this isn't like dangling the carrot in front of somebody's face only to take it away from you. You know, I'll think they won the House when I see the 218 vote. Until then, I'm not going to believe it. But anyhow, we're just seeing this absolute lie about everything that's swirling down so the system completely breaks so they can bring about this antichrist system. And I'm telling you, the great reset is the great tribulation. That's what it is. And it is going to entrap humanity into a system that seeks to exterminate you. If you think humanity right now, with all the things we've seen happen in the last couple of years, is designed to bring about humanity's death, then you haven't seen anything yet. Once this thing goes viral, which we see, I mean, just look at the exponential increase in evil in the last few years. And if that exponential, that's why they said, you know, one in 157 Americans could be murdered, because it was seen this exponential increase in evil in every facet of our lives, internal and external, in our families, out of our family, in our communities, out of our communities, in our churches, out of our churches, everywhere. We're seeing this exponential growth of wickedness and evil, the rebellion against God. And we see a reciprocal thing being given to us, and that's God's judgment. The further we abandon God and his principles, which are pretty far down the road right now, the greater the judgment's going to be. That is the grand conspiracy. And that's what we as Christians are not being told by our pastors. I mean, I just look at what pastors avoid today. And this is what I tell people. If you have a pastor that's preaching topographically, you know, I'm going to preach about this week, this and that, and it jumps all everywhere. He's preaching what he wants you to hear. He's a coward. He really is. Now, I'm not saying preachers never preach topographically, but a preacher who preaches expositionally, you know, let's go to Mark 1:1, Mark 1:2, Mark 1:3, Mark 1:4. He's telling you what God wants you to hear. Now, that doesn't mean that pastor doesn't segue every once in a while and preach a sermon on a specific topic, because there are certain things that happen that need to be addressed to the congregation. But overall, America's preachers do not preach the whole counsel of God. They preach a specific small percentage of the counsel of God that brings in the bucks to the church. That's what happens.
Many a times that I've gone to church, it feels like it's a motivational speech.
Yeah, a lot of it is. I mean, that's what the whole Joel Osteen thing is. It's all motivational. And no truth, no hard truth is preached. And so going back to it, if we go to that intelligence briefing, we really need to make sure, first and foremost, what Jesus said, we're not deceived. We really need to. And how do you do that? This is the only way you're going to do it. This is the only way you're not going to be deceived. Is to spend the time in this book, reading it and understanding it, digesting it, and cherishing it and loving it and obeying it. You know, you've got to obey what you see and hear. And then we have the promise that you will not be deceived in these days. Throw this away. Get rid of this. Let it just sit as an ornament on your desk so that people come in and go, oh, he's got a Bible on his desk. He must be a Christian. You know, let that be the purpose of it. And I would say there's almost 100% chance you'll be swept away in this wave of deception that's coming. Love it. Cherish it. Mark its pages up. Read it. And, you know, you'll stand firm because your feet will be on a rock. So I do that, and you'll love the truth. That's the thing, Doug, is I love the truth. You know, I want the truth to come out. You saw that picture. It broke my heart, those two girls. They had those Frankenstein scars across their chest. I mean, from armpit to armpit, this ugly Frankenstein scar where they, you know, some doctor had surgically removed these, look like, I don't know, pubescent age girls had removed their breasts. I mean, just imagine someone doing that to your daughters or some of my granddaughters. I mean, it's just heartbreaking to see this.
No, you would be better found, sunk into the sea, dude. Yeah. We tread so close to damnation and destruction in this country.
Well, no, I think we've passed it. I agree with John MacArthur, and you can listen to him. We as a nation have gone too far. We do not turn back at this point. The nation has been given over to a reprobate spirit.
Well, that's me and Hodges were talking about that, and I told him that's what I think happened with this election. And that's why I'm not surprised, nor am I really upset.
No.
Because I expected it.
The wicked are going to be wicked. I'm going to place my hope and faith in Jesus Christ.
So let's talk about that. As Christians moving forward in a failed political system, what do we do? What is your best laid plans as a Christian now? What should we be focusing on?
Okay, go to the Westminster Confession of Faith. It's a catechism that came out about the early 17th century. I think that's 168 questions, if I remember correctly. But the first question in that Westminster Confession of Faith is, what is the duty of man? The duty of man, the answer, according to the Westminster Confession of Faith, and I agree with that answer, the duty of man is to bring God glory and to enjoy his presence forever. If my obligation and duty is anything other than that, if it's to make a bunch of money, it's to retire comfortably, which I want to do. I want to do it. I don't want to go. But that's not my purpose. It's a blessing, yes. But my duty, I owe God my obeisance. I owe him my praise, my worship, my very core of my being. Says, Lord, to you I pour out my soul. To you I have obedience. To you I love. All this other stuff, it's trappings. I mean, you know, I do like to play with my night vision. You know, I like it. I'm a guy. I understand that. And you know what? This can save my life. I understand. God gave me those tools to save my life. But as in a failed political system and in a satanic system, which we see this world swirling down into, we have to keep that in focus. And it doesn't cost, if it costs me my life, if it costs me my prosperity, if it costs me whatever in this life, it costs me as far as my material possessions, I have to say, Lord, to you be the glory, to you be the honor. My life is here to glorify you. I remember Polycarp, you know, 80 some years old, but when he was being burned alive, his last dying act was to people that were asking if God's grace is sufficient to go through this. Lift your hand up. And according to church history, in the fire, you know, as the flames are consuming him, his last act was to raise his hand. God's grace is sufficient. I want to bring my Lord glory in my final dying act. And that is where we need to be today. That's the mindset that we have to have as Christians today, that my goal is the kingdom of God. John Bunyan, I'm listening to John Bunyan's testimony right now. I mean, it's a great testimony. You know, the guy who wrote A Pilgrim's Progress. I mean, he was an absolute heathen, you know, just wild man. I mean, he's a wild man, and ladies and liquor, you know. And until the Lord got a hold of his heart, then he wrote one of the greatest books in all Christian history. And that's the perspective I have. I seek the celestial city. I seek God's glory. That's where we have to be at. And that has to be an all-consuming passion in these days. Because if your passion is anything other than that, you're not going to walk through this unscathed. I'm not saying you're not going to go to heaven, but I'm saying you're going to suffer loss. You're going to stand before the Lord and have loss. And I don't want to do that. So I just encourage people today, you know, to some extent, take your focus off the election. It's important what happens. I mean, I tell people all the time, I would rather live under Constantine than Caligula. You know, I would vote for the lesser of two evils there. I would. I mean, Constantine wasn't, you know, a perfect man. He had all kinds of hangups and problems, but he at least implemented a system where people could live at peace. Caligula, on the other hand, who wants to live under that guy? I mean, he's having sex with his horse in front of people. I mean, you know, that's not the kind of guy I want. That's why I voted for the lesser of two evils. That's just my obligation as a citizen of this country. But at the end of the day, I will stand before the Son of Man one day, that very Jesus who gave me that intelligence briefing we were talking about. I will stand before him one day, and I have to give an account for what I did. Well, Lord, I made a lot of money. Lord, yeah, I kind of didn't talk about you too much because, you know, I would have gotten fired at my job if I had of, and, you know, I had to feed my family, and, you know, I just had to keep kind of, I was a clandestine Christian. That's what I was.
Well, that's why I tell people one day you're going to have a moral, ethical decision, a line in the sand. You're going to have to choose which side to stand on. And that goes for everybody.
And everybody will stand before the Son of Man one day. He'll be sitting on the throne. And, you know, the books will be opened is what it says. The book of life will be opened. And Lord Jesus, as much a sinner as I am, I pray my name is found in that book of life. Mm-hmm. Because I want to hear those words more than anything. You know, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy God. That's what I want to hear more than anything. And the most horrible words billions of souls will ever hear, the most horrible words, depart from me. You know those six words?
So, you know, the way it makes me think when I see stuff like that, it's kind of like I guess you could say like a company or battalion style meeting, like what we had in the military, where there'll be all of us over here in this regiment of the saved. Then you will have divisions of the damned.
Yes.
Right? You go stand over there. You go stand
the
up there.
And the goats.
Yep.
The
and you're just, and, the goats. And they're waiting till the very last man or woman shows up and then depart from me. Bam. Because it says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And I think before the final act of them being sent, that is what will happen. Bow and confess.
The Bible says they'll actually come and worship before our feet. And I don't want to make that clear. It doesn't mean they're worshiping us. They'll come and worship because of the work God has done in our lives, saying, I wish that was me.
Yeah.
I wish I had listened. I wish I had paid attention. I mean, the words, Doug, in here are clear. They're not ambiguous. They're not confusing. They're simple. They're plain.
And they're not manipulative.
No.
You know, it's not like, and I'm not going to talk about any other religions or I'll get banned, I'm sure. But in many other religions, you know, it is a manipulation state. And it's disinformation, misinformation, malinformation, and manipulation of your soul. But Christ is the freedom of it.
Yes. I mean, again, you know, here we have a God who we understand that mankind, all you have to do is look at us and say, mankind's pretty broken. We love to kill each other. We love to steal from each other. We love to rape each other. That's our history. That's what we do. Okay. Very few moments of really any kind of noble stuff we've really done. It's all, I mean, even we designed something really great like nuclear energy. We burn people alive with it, you know, nuke them. So the, even the best of us is a lot of times turned to our destruction. So we have this thing called sin that just absolutely corrupts all of humanity. We just read human history. Man is basically good. Prove it to me in history. I can prove to you a billion ways they're not basically good. But anyhow, that's philosophical discussion that you will lose. But so here we have man in this condition of sin and the death that we have brought not only to ourselves, but of the whole creation is groaning under the death of it. All of creation, entropy, it's all decaying, all breaking down. And yet the God of all creation comes and says, you know, I am going to send my son, my perfect son, born of a virgin, to come and pay the price for you. All that misery, all that death, all that disgusting, filth, vile treachery, from perversion to peace, from tragedy to triumph, you know, all of it. I'm going to give that. I'm going to make that available to you so that you can go from perversion to peace, from tragedy to triumph. I'm going to make it available through my son. And all you have to do is let that great wealth that's in that account of Jesus Christ, his righteousness, be put into your bank account. Mm-hmm. And you become righteous. And you know what basically people do is they put the middle finger up.
Yeah, stop and stop living a life of sin. But for some people, you know, why? I love to gamble. You know, I love to have a promiscuous life. You know, I love to lie, cheat, and steal. I love to torture people to death. You know, the sexual misdeeds alone, but there are just very, very evil people in this world who want power and control.
Yeah. And that's the Luciferian. It goes down to, who do I worship? Do I worship myself or do I worship the Lord God? I mean, that's the pride of Lucifer, was he wanted self-worship.
Yeah.
And that's the end. That's what the end Antichrist wants, is worship. That's what he demands, worship. That's what the Caesars demanded, worship. That's what Hitler demanded, worship. And the end Antichrist demands this, and he has the technological capability and the satanic power to implement it, that the world will have to worship him.
You know, what's funny is because you mentioned all those dictators, but Pharaoh was probably the best example of all of them.
Yeah.
But and I've said
it before, and it well for him, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You know,
it well for him.
You know, the thing about Pharaoh, and I've been studying in Exodus over the past 2 weeks. 2 weeks, not I read it and I'm done with it, right? I'm actually trying to study the whole thing. Pharaoh was given ample opportunity, just like how America was given ample opportunity. Now, I've gone over this before, I'll go over it again. But, you know, after all the plagues have been done, after the releasing of Israel, after the people of Israel are meandering through the woods for 40 years, you know, what's really interesting to me is that despite all the miracles that had happened, they still grumbled every chance they got.
Oh. See, that's us. It's our fallen nature, and this is what it is, and this is what we have to understand. The only way to escape that is to put on Christ's righteousness.
Right.
You can't do enough good deeds. You can't. I don't care how many good deeds you do. You could be Mother Teresa squared, cubed, and you're not going to do enough good deeds. It's only when we have Christ's righteousness imparted to us through faith that we can therefore stand before God. I stand before God not on my own righteousness. My gosh. Yeah, I'm like, I don't want that movie made, you know. Well,
could you imagine the Christians who stand around right now going, God, what have you done for me?
Yeah,
I don't, there's not a man on this planet that I would not fight and that I don't think that I couldn't take. That's my mindset.
Yeah.
It's not the fact that I'm, you know, I have experience, it's just my mindset, right? But there is never a chance in my life where I would ever say, God, what have you done for me? Look at what all you've dragged me through. You know, would you really bring me out here just for me to die of thirst? Would you really bring me out here just for me to die of hunger? You know, deny all of the prophetic miracles that you've done in my life, and then just be dragged out to a little bit of a testing. You know, and Christians, we're going to be put into that wilderness now. The times have, it's gone. I don't think America's going to be making a reprieve. We're going to be put into a terrible time of testing, a very terrible time of testing. And just remember, when you go a few days without water, or you come across the well of bitter water, and God says, hey, throw that log in there, and now it's sweet. You know, whenever you start to get a little hungry and the doves are on the ground or the manna you're collecting during the day, you know, when you start to have these little bitty miracles and you start to grumble, remember the amazing things that God did through your life to bring you to where you're at now. Because, and you know, one of the things that Moses and Aaron said numerous times is like, why are you yelling at me? I didn't bring you out here. You know, we're all in this together. And yet God, let's take a step back. Okay. Let me be a adjudication for our Lord for a second. The plagues. Could you imagine what God was saying in his private time with Moses? These people are grumbling. They're complaining. Hold on. I turned the river into blood. I brought famine, plagues. You know, I defeated Pharaoh's army. I split the sea in half. You know, I killed every firstborn for you. I freed you. I fed you. I clothed you. I brought my prophet to you to drag you out of bondagement. And you complain? That's where America's at now. We complain.
Yeah. You know, my sin was nailed to his cross. As Jonathan Edwards said, the only thing I've ever contributed to my salvation was the sin that made it necessary. You know, his righteousness became my righteousness. My iniquity, he bore my iniquity. And that's where we're at. Because again, I agree, totally agree with you. The post-Christian America is going to accelerate downward and downward and downward right now to where you're going to really have to make choices. You might lose everything for the kingdom of God.
I don't expect to have this.
I don't. You know, and so, but I will inherit the kingdom of God. That's my goal. My goal is to inherit the kingdom of God. And so I want to finish with that because we always go a long time. You know, what do you want to inherit? That's the question. Do you want to inherit the lies? I mean, so I get that $32 billion that went missing out of FTX. What is it going to do me? Buy some momentary sinful pleasure? That's what these people are fighting for, a burning house. We know this place, this house called Earth burns. It burns up. And they're fighting for a burning eternity. What are you fighting for? Where's your passion? Where's your goal? Is it found in the Lord? Psalm 91. Do you hide under his shadow? Do you seek him with all your heart? Is that your passion? Or is it, you know, my 501k, my this, my that, my other thing? And some those things are good. I mean, the Bible says we should store it for our children. I mean, I don't want to leave my family destitute. I understand that. I understand all that. And those are all good goals, but it's not the goal.
Well, you know, I would throw the rafters of my house on the fire that burns this country if it wasn't for the fact that half of us are going to be caught up in that fire.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, can you know Pastor David Lankford, I was listening to one of his sermons yesterday, and he said, you know, your prayers can actually benefit and change the future. We can pray for consequences not to be fallen upon loved ones or upon ourselves. And I think, you know, going forward, instead of investing so much money in tangible objects, maybe you should be investing them into a little bit of spiritual objects.
Spending time in before God in prayer, seeking his face, store up treasures in heaven is what Jesus said. Don't store them up here. I mean, again, these are things, and I enjoy them. I know you do too. But this thing is not going to be what saves my soul.
It's just an asset.
There's going to be people in hell that have a bunch of these things.
Yeah.
They're going to die and go to hell. And they're going to have a bunch of them. They're going to have, you know, this, that, all of it. They're going to have it all. So, you know, and those things are good to have. I sell them. They're good to have. I recommend people get them. But the direction this program has gone is, where will your soul be? Where will your soul dwell in eternity? And so as we see this world swirl down into the depths of the worst satanic depravities, it'll be worse than Noah's day. And we're seeing that happen now. Put your hope and faith in Jesus Christ. Read his word. Become founded in his truth, the truth he gave us, so that you can walk with a circumspect mindset that I understand what's going on. I understand. I that's why I look at this election, as you know, basically inconsequential. In the long term, Daniel went through four completely different administrations, completely different. And he walked through all those four different administrations. I will walk through this administration, the next administration, whatever it is. I'm going to walk in faith in Jesus Christ. It's not my purpose in this life to go and fight with some kind of gun or whatever to do that. I use a gun to defend my family for sure. But my purpose in this life is to walk in a manner that brings God glory and honor. And that's what I just want to leave people with. That should be your purpose. And if it's not, you have time right now to repent and make it your purpose, because that's the only purpose that's going to matter when you stand before the Son of Man and on that day. And, people know my health issue. I don't have this cough because of cancer or anything like that, but I do have a cancer. So something's going to take my life one day, and, you know, I won't be here anymore. And I've gone to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what's going to matter. And that's what I tell people to do. That's the kingdom I seek. You know, again, we stand in the presence of God, so we're infused with power and courage. That way I have the ability to stand up and look Pharaoh like Moses did. Moses was a stutterer. You know that.
Yeah. 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 He asked God was like, I can't speak well. Can you send somebody to help me?
Yeah, he's a stutterer. And yet he stood before the most powerful man
in the world at that point.
Yeah. My people go. Mm-hmm. He stood before the most powerful man in the world and said that. Because he had something inside him. He had seen the burning bush. He had been on the mountain and seen the glory of God, and it did something to him. Second, Moses surrounded himself. His inner circle was good people, strong people, men that when he was fatigued, held his arms up, stood with him. And the third thing is, you know, he had provisions for his people.
Well, let's talk about that little miracle real quick before we go. I don't know if anyone else reads their Bible. Apparently not everybody does. I think most people who listen to us do, but if you don't, the story that Bob actually told about is an amazing story for any of you who are combative historians like I am. Was it Amalek? Was that who they were fighting? As they were fighting, Moses said, I will hold my hand up. And if I hold my hand up, Israel will prevail. And if I put my hand down, Amalek will prevail. And so he's holding his hand up, and I believe the hand and the staff, right? And so he eventually got tired. And so two of, you know, his brethren had to come there, and they put a stone seat for him, and they held his arms up.
Yeah.
They prevailed.
I'm going to be shameless right now. It was that Iwo Jima moment.
Yeah.
You know, when the Marines saw that flag go up on top of Mount Suribachi, it was like, that's what it was for Moses. I mean, mm-hmm. His holding his hands up was the raising of the flag on Mount Suribachi. People saw it, and they knew, you know, we've won this battle. We've won it. And you know, for all the Marines out there, you'll totally get that analogy. And that's exactly what it was. You know, if that flag hadn't been raised, I mean, what did I forgot who it says, that symbol will be the Marine Corps symbol for the next 500 years. Well, some Marines said that. You know, that symbol will be the next Marines for the next 500 years. Or when the Sherman Marine Corps, something to that effect. But, I mean, you just think of how long that symbol has endured. And so, you know, because Moses surrounded himself by men that had a unique and same vision he had. And that's what we do. We surround ourselves with men and women today that have the unique vision, the intel report here in the Bible. This is what I want to surround myself with. I think of my friend Mark. I can't go into too many details. Mark is with Florida Department of Law Enforcement, my best friend. I've known him for years and years and decades. You know, last night I get a call from him. And he, Bob, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. I want to hold you up. Anything I can do for you? And I wasn't feeling well. I've got this cold. I wasn't feeling well. And he prayed for me. He held my hands up. You know, he called me up just specifically for that. And then I texted him back, Mark, your friendship means so much to me. You know, because you held my hands up when I was getting tired and fatigued. And I was a little under the weather, you know, not feeling good. And, you know, he held my hands up. And that's so important that we surround ourselves with people like that today. God bless you, Mark. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And we should be tightening our circle. You know, I hate to say this, but most Americans listen to Joe Rogan. And to an extent, I kind of agree with a few statements that he makes. But the other day I was listening to him how he was just he was not doing justice to a man who was a Christian saying that he disagreed with, you know, alternate sex marriage. And, you know, Joe definitely stood in the gap for Satan on that one.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this much, be careful who you listen to. I don't care how cool he is. Listen, this is not the guy for people who want to proclaim Christ in their life. This should not be your idol that you listen to for 3 hours straight. It's a reprobate cool nature.
I'm going to address the cool guys out there. You know, I've got my 45 over there. You know, that's my answer is my 45. You know, by the power of my guns, you know, go to the Gospels. Oh, my gosh. Love your enemy. Do good to those who persecute you. If your enemy is thirsty, give him water. Oh, my gosh. I want my AR-15. Mm-hmm. You know, and like I said, you come to hurt my family, I'm going to dump a mag into you.
Well, there's a lot of fake tough guys out there.
Yeah, I'm going to dump a mag into you. If you come to hurt my family, that's what I'm going to do. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, buts. Unquestionable, I'm going to dump a mag into you. Unless an angel comes down and says, no, don't do it. You're getting a mag dump. But overall, love your enemy. Do good to those who persecute you. Pray for those who curse you. Therefore, you will be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. If your enemy thirsts, give him water. I don't like that. I like going to beat the living. I like Hoist Gracie-ing them, you know, when I get him in an arm lock and twist it off, you know. And, you know, I'm a judo fighter. I did it a lot of years, and it was fun doing that kind of stuff, you know, in the ring. Wasn't fun getting it done to you when it happened, but it was fun doing it to other people. But, you know, again, that's we follow a different set of rules. And, you know, I thank God for my friends like you or Mark or, you know, Steve Coyle, Doug Hagman, Mike Adams, you know, I thank God for that. And so that's what I just want to leave today. This program took a little bit of a different turn than what we thought. You know, it's all about the lie.
It always does. God guided it.
It's we don't listen to the lies of this world. We listen to the truth in this book. The lies of this world will lead to the path of destruction. Yeah, you might be rich. I was just reading Jeffrey Epstein had a yacht and all this stuff, and he had a harem of girls that you know could you wanted to go and do your thing. You'd get on that yacht and have the harem of girls, and yeah, if that's what you want, if that's your goal, you know, Hugh Hefner's in hell. You know, is you know died as far as I know without Christ. You know that's your ultimate goal. And eternity, you face it. You know, you can have all that he had, and still money, fame, wealth, women, whatever. But you know, in this book, the Bible tells me I'm going to inherit the celestial city. I'm going to inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going to actually. The Bible says you will sit with me in my throne, even if I overcame and sat with my Father in His throne. He's created all these things. I will inherit all that He says that's in this book. I'll inherit it. And so that's where my goal is. And that's what I encourage people to do because the lies are going to send you to hell. You know, you want to invest in, you know, Ukraine and make money and traffic women and sell drugs and do all that. That's your choice. You'll have wealth. You'll have prosperity. You'll have your women. You'll have whatever you want. But in the end, depart from me, you cursed into the wicked, into the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what you're going to hear.
Yeah, there's two things from Ecclesiastes and then I'll close it. Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Do not take heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others. That's Ecclesiastes 7:20 to 22. And then Ecclesiastes 7, verses 15 through 18. In my vain life, I have seen everything. There is a righteous man who perishes in righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his evil doing. Be not overly righteous, and do not make yourself too wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Be not overly wicked, neither be a fool. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you should take hold of this, and from that withhold not your hand, and for the one who fears God shall come out from both of them.
You know, Jeremiah lived in a society, just like what you're saying, Jeremiah lived in a society similar to ours. It became totally reprobate. They served gods. They threw their children under the fires of Moloch. Mm-hmm. The Bible says each one whinnied, like a horse whinnies, after his neighbor's wife. So there was just rampant sexual and perversion going on, all of it. And Jeremiah's heart in Lamentations 2:11, my eyes fail with tears. My heart is troubled. My bile, that means my inside is poured out on the ground because of the destruction of the daughters of my people, because of the children of the infants faint in the streets of the city. And that's what we're seeing today. And we're seeing this. My heart is troubled. When I saw that picture of those two girls that had been masked, you know, just dissected, mutilated, my heart was troubled. And so instead of, you know, looking for what I can grab of this burning house, my heart's troubled right now. And I just pray. I want to end it because we can go on and on and on about it. But I want to pray right now that God gives the spirit of wisdom and understanding to the people listening, that he opens my eyes, opens your eyes, Doug, and the eyes of everyone to see the spiritual realm around us, to see the battle that we're in, and to realize there's going to be a victor, and it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. If you align yourself with Satan, you're going to partake of Satan's judgment, the lake of fire. right now, I think, you know, our hearts should be broken for what we see going on in this land. You know, I have to say, I grieve for the wicked, too. I mean, the worst enemies I have on this planet, you know, the people that are in charge, their fate is horrible beyond imagination. Hillary Clinton, you name it, their fate is horrible. It's a lake of fire. And, you know, I don't desire that for any of them. I don't. I wish they would repent. I mean, some of the best of God's saints have been the worst of sinners. Paul, you know, Amazing Grace, John Adams, no, John Smith, you know, wrote Amazing Grace, Paul Bunyan, you know. John Bunyan, excuse me. I had a little skin, excuse me, my head's a little fog, but you know, those are some of the worst of the worst of the worst. Saint Paul, murderer. They became the greatest of God's saints. And so, you know, when I look at the wicked today, my goal, my desire for them is not to see them perish, but to see them repent. So leave it with that. Yep. Open my eyes, Lord, to see the world as you see it.
That's right. Establish the works of our hand, Lord. That's Psalm 90:17. That's one thing that I try to say all the time, you know, establish the works of my hands, the way I can glorify you.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, let everyone know where they can find your information. If you need night vision, if you need any type of tactical gear that you actually may use and not just collect, or you know what, even better, if you don't know how to properly prepare, if you don't know what food to buy, what water purification to buy, how to set your house up to be a stronghold for you and your family and not something that's just going to be an open casket for people to come walk in and out of, you need to contact Bob Griswold. Even if you don't buy anything, Bob will walk you through it. And he's the only guy out there that'll do it and not charge you anything. So, Bob, can you let everybody know where they can find your information?
And also, I want to say this. You know, R.C. Sproul said, what is somebody who preaches the gospel? What have we done today? We're one set of sinners telling another set of sinners where to find bread. That's what we've done. You know, I'm a sinner. I'll tell you where to find the bread. I don't have the bread. I don't make the bread. I'll tell you where to find the bread. And also, so if you need prayer, if something's going on, I'll sit there and talk with you. I'll pray with you. Yeah. You know, and that we can seek God's wisdom together. But again, if you want to contact me and buy any of the cool guy stuff there, you know, just readymaderesources.com. Again, if you want to call me, 800-627-3809. Again, 800-627-3809. If you want to email me, robert@readymaderesources.com. And I'll see if I can only respond to so many emails during the day, and I get a lot already, but I'll try to respond to you, robert@readymaderesources.com. And I'll sit there. And again, we will go through, I think I can direct you through, I can direct you through a plan that can save your soul. That plan is well established in the pages of the Bible. I can't make you surround yourself with good men and women. That's up to you to do. And I can maybe direct you into some of the physical preparations, because scarcity is coming to this world. And I don't think you want your family having to experience that when you have the option to do something different. So just those suggestions, 800-637-3809. But anyhow, just pray that God opens the eyes of the people who hear this and desire to seek and understand the intelligence support of what we're seeing going on right now before our very eyes.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. If you like this type of broadcast, then please make sure, especially on YouTube and Rumble, that you like, share, and leave your comments. If you have any questions, I read all the comments and leave your questions in there. So thank you very much to everyone who is listening and watching, and to all the affiliate stations who are holding this show. Stay frosty. The enemy's out there.
Yes.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.